Hello and welcome to another episode of the Scorker Talkers Women's Football Podcast, and have we got a treat for you. And we're going to be discussing all things on Wednesday's so-called title side between Chelsea and Manchester City, and that finished in a really sort of exciting 2-2 draw. And by we, I don't just mean myself, I do mean Harry Edwards. Harry, how's it going?
I'm good. I'm still recovering a bit from the game. It was very draining to watch, but in a good way.
Yeah, I think Emma Hayes herself said in the aftermath of that game, she was glad it was over as well. I think it was quite stressful for everyone involved.
Yeah, it's. I think it showed. I know we can go into more detail on it in a second, but it showed just how good these two sides are.
Absolutely. So as we mentioned, they're 2-2 draw, 4 goals in it, and the scorers themselves, Chloe Kelly and Laura Hemp for Man City, and Sam Kerr, as always, and Pernille Harder. And that Sam Kerr goal actually puts her ahead of Vivian Redema in the Golden Boot race. She's got 18 goals now. It's getting pretty tight up there as well.
Yeah, I think if you throw in Frank Kirby as well on 14, and Miedemar has a game in hand on Kerr and Kirby, so people might say it's in her hands. But you know, with just a couple of games left in the season, I think it's too hard to call, but it will be a good race.
And the game itself kind of really showed that. I mean, I think we should dive straight into the analysis. I don't know about you, but it was quite difficult in the build-up to the game because we found out some things about the lineups. Like, for example, Chelsea were without their captain, Magnus Eriksson, and that was because Eriksson picked up an injury, I think, in the FA Cup.
Yeah, it was... So against London City Lionesses last Friday, it was midway through the second half, towards the end of the second half, it immediately had Chelsea fans worrying because... you know, they had the Man City game. They've got some big games coming up. I believe it was either Monday or Tuesday in Emma Hayes' press conference. She said that Maren Mjelde was the only absentee. And then, you know, about an hour and a half before kickoff, there were rumours that Eriksson's not, you know, she didn't travel. Well, her shirt wasn't in the dressing room, so she's not in the team. And I think, thankfully, for Chelsea, it does seem that it's only last night that it ruled her out. Obviously, she failed a late fitness test, but it was still quite a big absence on the night.
Absolutely, and it seems that Sophie Ingle was thrown straight back into that position, and once again with Millie Bright, and it's a position that she's played, I don't think a lot of people know, but she's played there for Wales, so it's a position that's quite comfortable for her. However, it did kind of take out the wings almost out of Chelsea's attack, and then that lack of pace in the central defence really stretched us. And I think that the City wingers, as we mentioned, Laura Hemp, you know, Chloe Kelly, those wingers, they really made a good game out of it and really put that to the test.
Yeah, I think it's a topic that has been spoken about over the past season, really. Chelsea's fullbacks, how attacking they are, but also how that hinders Chelsea defensively. And I think, like you said, it was the case against Man City, especially down Man City's right, Chelsea's left, with Lucy Bronze and Chloe Kelly up against Jonna Ranson and Erin Cuthbert. When I first saw sort of team sheet, I thought Cuthbert would be pressing for Chelsea, leading that high press, but she was a lot deeper, and she needed to cover the space that Anderson kept leaving. And, you know, there were so many opportunities for Man City down that right-hand side. And we all know how good Lauren Hemp is, but it was Chloe Kelly's night. And like you said, Sophie Ingle, she was struggling also to keep up with the gaps that Anderson left. And I think Man City will probably be upset that they didn't make the most of it.
And not just Sophie Ingle, but also they made it quite difficult for Maren Mjelde to stand in Jess Carter. And I think that across the defence, it was quite a conservative performance from Chelsea. They didn't have much in terms of going out from defence, something really Bright actually is really good at doing. But with Magda Eriksson absent, it was something that kind of saw them retreat. And I think that was reflected in the possession, because Chelsea only had 37% possession. And for a team that's very good in transitional passing and good in terms of passing through the midfield, that's quite shocking. And to kind of think of it that way, I think, of course, yeah, we can obviously say there was some defensive, it was a defensive reshuffle, but I think it was quite interesting to see how that affected the midfield and how much that has a knock-on effect.
Yeah, I think this isn't the first big game that we've seen Chelsea's midfield, I don't want to say go missing, but kind of be lost in the game.
Mm.
It happened in, I'd say, both the Champions League quarterfinals against Wolfsburg.
Yep, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, and again, like you said, if you cut out that Chelsea midfield, you will lose Chelsea's ability to bring the ball out from the back. And again, just echoing what you say about Millie Bright and Sophie Ingle, if you also put the pressure on them too and don't give them time to play out of the back. And again, Sophie Ingle, I don't like her at centre back. I think she's a good player, but I think centre back isn't right now where her strengths lie. And again, if you put pressure on her and don't give her the time to pass the ball, she ends up just her and Millie Bright both. They just end up kicking the ball long, trying for to get the ball straight up to Sam Kerr, Frank Kirby, Pernille Harder. But more often than not, it just allows the opponents, and in this case Man City, to just keep possession. And I think Chelsea invited that on in the second half as well. They did sit back and let Man City play, looking to hit them on the counter, which 2-1 up, when you know your opponent has got to win, or when your opponent knows they've got to win to stay in the title race mathematically, is probably the right decision. But they just didn't have, I don't think their midfield and attack really had a good game apart from Sam Kerr and Aaron Cuthbert. That was more defensive.
Mm. And you mentioned they're playing over the top and those long balls. Those have worked for Chelsea sometimes in the past. I remember sort of vividly that Frank Kirby goal against Man United from that long ball. However, as you mentioned, you take out the ability to play out from the defence through the midfield, and that really cuts down our Chelsea's ability to kind of link up with other players as they do, and in a way that their attack is so blistering. I mean, they had 303 passes in those attacking moves, and City had 511. And I suppose that gives us a bit more of an image of how well City were exploiting those defensive struggles. However, in saying that, there were still two moments of real quality from Sam Kerr, and maybe Pernille Harder had a bit more luck in her sense, that allowed Chelsea to get that point.
Yeah, it was. I think over the past few weeks, we've seen Sam Kerr really, improve even more than the high level that she was already at. She's really comfortable in the league now, and she's starting to show her pace and her, I wouldn't call it dribbling abilities, but her direct running with the ball, and how with especially the, the first goal was a good header. I believe it was her eighth in total this season, four more than any other player in the league. And that player is Frank Kirby, and how someone of her size, with no disrespect, is, outscoring everyone else in headers. I think that speaks about her quality. But on the penalty that Sam Kerr won, she won't get the assist, but it was all about her. She took that ball, and she was on her own. She just took on all the defenders. She invited the contact from Roebuck, and I don't mean that in a bad way. She knew, she knew that if she got to a certain stage, she knew that Robot couldn't help but catch her, and I think it was a good run and a deserving part in Chelsea taking the lead.
Yeah, but I think as much as we mentioned Man City exploiting Chelsea defence, I think that was a moment where the reverse happened, and I think that the absence of Steph Hewitt in the backline kind of really helped, because it was quite a struggle for the defence to sometimes keep track of Sam Kerr. That's what she does, you know, she's a very slippery player. It's hard to man mark her, and I think that showed in that moment where the City defence just let her slip past, and Ellie Roebuck had a bit too much to do, and I think we both know Sam Kerr would have got to that ball first, so I think it were two moments of quality that got Chelsea through. But it kind of puts us in a difficult position now, at least if you're a Man City fan, because Chelsea only need a win and a draw from the next two games to become back-to-back champions. Meanwhile, City have to win both of their games and hope that Chelsea slip up either against Tottenham or Reading.
Yeah. I think the reaction from the Chelsea bench, and especially Emma Hayes when the full-time whistle went, it might lead you to believe that they think it's over, that they've won, but that could also just be, you know, pure relief that they didn't lose and they're still in charge of the title race. I think there is still some pressure on Chelsea, though, because before Chelsea play again in the league, Man City can go top, because Chelsea have got Champions League games before their next game against Tottenham, which hasn't been scheduled yet, or hasn't been rescheduled. And Man City have Birmingham in their next game. I think the Man City will still have hope. You know, the draw, a loss would have been, you know, all but over. But with the draw, they know how good they can be. There are still some negatives to their play, but I think they'll be confident. And I think they'll be happy to be able to still put pressure on Chelsea.
And speaking of pressure and Chelsea, so I mentioned that Tottenham and Reading is their last two fixtures. And as we've said, it's kind of a bit all up in the air because it's that, you've got the Champions League and you're not really sure when the games are going to be scheduled and how Emma Hayes will rotate her team. But do you think either one of these teams can really pull the shock? You know, we've spoken about both these teams in the past, about Tottenham having struggled under Rani Skinner this season. Reading have looked the stronger team in comparison. What, you know, is it possible?
Now, this is probably going to, you know, be clipped and come back to bite me. I don't think Tottenham are a problem.
Famous last words.
Yeah, I think out of those two teams, Reading are, like you said, the bigger problem. I know Chelsea beat them 5-0 in January, but Reading have shown that they can. You know, they gave Man City a real scare just a couple of weeks ago, and they do have that quality. I think the 5-0 win for Chelsea back in January that I just said, that was probably more of an anomaly. So I think Chelsea can expect a much harder game, especially on the final day of the season, as it is, if Chelsea go into that game needing a win, and if Reading feel like, you know, they want to ruin the party, they truly can.
Yeah, but as we know, the reason why it's kind of a possibility is because Chelsea have a Champions League fixture. They're playing in the semi-final this Sunday against Bayern Munich. I think a lot has been said about the Champions League on the men's side of football. You know, if you've been online and on Twitter, you would have known. Away from all that chaos, there's still the small matter of the Women's Champions League semi-final, and it's going to be quite a difficult one for Chelsea. I mean, they just battled Wolfsburg over two legs, and they're facing a German team that have quite comfortably made light work of Rosengard.
Yeah, it's... I think the Champions League semi-final as a whole, the Champions League as a whole is really open now. Out of the four sides left in it, I think Bayern Munich are probably the lesser favoured, the one that you wouldn't expect to win, and the one that I believe people don't expect to win, but Chelsea shouldn't take them lightly. They are still a very good team, and I think personally, although Man City didn't win at the week, on Wednesday, I think they showed teams and Bayern Munich especially how to beat Chelsea, and that is down the wings.
Yeah, but absolutely. And as you mentioned, not to take them lightly, because they are quite a multi-dimensional team when it comes to attack. The most sort of prominent thing for me in terms of potentially breaking Chelsea down is through the midfield, because as we watched in the Wolfsburg game, Engen made an absolute, you know, light work of that double pivot that Emma Hayes so strongly favours, her starting double pivot. And Dahlmann, who's Bayern's number 10, as I've watched from previous games and analysis, is a player that is capable of causing just as much damage. But that's not the only way that they attack, though. They've got an out-and-out striker in Schüller. You mentioned there about the weaknesses in the fullback areas, and Berenstein is a player that they like to utilise a lot in those areas. So although it's difficult, because as we've spoken before, the Frauen Bundesliga probably doesn't provide as much competition in comparison to the WSL, I think Bayern as a team probably will provide Chelsea with a few surprises.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like you said, with the, you know, with the attacking on the Bayern side, and I think they can also use. Again, I think drawing inspiration from the Man City game and the Wolfsburg games, I think if, you know, if Bayern Munich can keep Sophie Ingle quiet, if she plays as part of that, like you said, that double pivot, which if Eriksen is back in defence, I believe she will, or even if she's at centre-back, she does seem to want too much time on the ball right now, and Wolfsburg didn't let her have that, and it allowed them to recycle possession easily, making her rush at passes, like I said previously. And it stops Chelsea from playing, and then that can be the high turnover for Bayern to either attack through the middle or through, like you said, Lynette Berenstein or Lea Schüller, who has 15 goals in the league and Champions League. That might not sound as high as some of the numbers in the Chelsea squad, but Bayern have got so many different attacking options that can, you know, hurt this Chelsea defence, as, you know, as Wolfsburg didn't in the last round. They had so many chances, they just didn't take them. So I think Chelsea have got to be a bit wary here.
I think one thing I would like to see, which I don't think I saw soon enough in the last game against Wolfsburg, I think was the introduction of Aaron Cuthbert, because I think introducing Aaron Cuthbert and possibly changing to a 4-3-3, I think that really allows us to have an aspect of counter-attack and helps us with transitional play a lot. And I think that's something that we struggled against Engen. The reason why that Chelsea was struggling so much with their midfield pivot is the absence of that player, that ball carrier, to create possession play. And I think that's something that could be good against Bayern, because, as we mentioned, they are a counter-attacking team. They've got so many different elements that can sort of take you apart in a matter of seconds. And I think Emma Hayes might think about sort of tweaking things just to make sure that she's not open to or susceptible in that sense as they were against Wolfsburg.
Yeah, I think we can agree. I think we can talk about the both teams' attacks, you know, for hours. But I think it will be the midfield battle that wins this game. And I think if Cuthbert does come in, that will give Chelsea a better chance. You know, as I said when we were talking about the Man City game, Chelsea's midfield have been lacking in big games, and I think they need to step up. They need to start strongly, and rather than allow their opponents to take control of the game as they have done in the past few matches, and hit them on the counter, I think they need to, I wouldn't say go all at attack, because like you said, Bayern can do, you know, can counter them and can punish Chelsea. But I think controlling the midfield is how one of these teams will win.
Absolutely. And I think it'll definitely be a tough tie, even though, as you mentioned, Chelsea are probably the stronger team on paper. and probably a more competitive experience. However, whoever wins that tie, though, whether it's Chelsea or not, they're going to have to face either PSG and Barcelona. That's the other semi-final tie. You know, PSG made history by denying Lyon a place in a tournament that they pretty much declared as their own. The 2-1 victory in the second leg, and Barcelona, who we saw comfortably clear the hurdle of Gareth Taylor's Manchester City and, you know, really put up an entertaining performance. That is going to be, you know, that's going to be quite an interesting match.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, thanks to Man City, thanks to PSG, there will be a new Champions League winner, a first-time Champions League winner this season. You know, Leon's reign of terror is over for now. I think these are two teams who are both so good right now. You know, there are so many big battles, but also, you know, I like little mini stories in games. And according to reports, PSG centre back Paredes has reportedly agreed to join Barcelona in the summer. You know, does she? You know, how does she perform against her supposed new club? You know, does she put in a? I'm not suggesting match fiction, but what's her performance going to be like? You know, is she going to put in a big performance to stop her potential new team, or, you know, is it going to be a case of if you can't beat them, join them?
Yeah, that is interesting, and you know, it's not just her. We've got to mention a few other players here. We're talking about Barcelona, and Ashuala is high up on that list. I think that my notes are in key battles, Ashuala versus everyone, basically, because when she plays, that's exactly how it is. She's very striking and very direct with her attacking options, and I think that's something that Man City really struggled with.
Yeah, she's everywhere. She's so hard for anyone to keep track of. She has her moments where she misses some chances, and I know from, you know, following other journalists who cover her week in, week out for Barcelona and Nigeria, you know, she's not prone to having a game where nothing goes right, but at the minute, and as she showed in the two legs against Man City, you know, she will keep at you. She will take her chances. And I think PSG, as Man City relied perhaps on Eddie Robuck in the last round, I think PSG are going to be, you know, very, very happy to have Christian Endler in goal. I think Emma Hayes said after the game against Man City about Katrin Berger, that she and Endler are the best goalkeepers in the world right now, and Endler showed it last weekend against Lyon with a, you know, frankly ridiculous save in injury time to secure the win on away goal. It was when Lyon looked like they were gonna break PSG hearts again. I think it's just these two teams, you know. I think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, whoever goes on to win that, I think that tie is going to be, or that final is going to be absolutely amazing, because the teams that are left now are just simply teams absolutely bursting with talent. And, you know, it's not so easy. There's not a game where you might think, oh, there's clearly a clear-cut winner here. I think that's what makes it even more exciting. What's even more exciting than that is me asking you for predictions for both games.
So I think, like I said, with the Chelsea game, I think whoever wins the midfield battle will win the game. And I'm putting my, you know, my optimistic hat on for once, and I think Chelsea might have that extra quality, as they showed against Wolfsburg, where they're not playing that great in the first leg, but they get the goals and then they control it. So I think maybe if we're just looking at the first leg, I think maybe a 2-1 Chelsea get those two away goals and take a good lead into the second leg.
And your options for the Bayern, the Barcelona PSG game?
this one was a lot harder to call. I was just looking through some numbers. What happens when a team that has conceded 5 goals in 24 games across all competitions faces a team that scored 145 goals in 30 games across all competitions? One of them's got a crack in that. I think that Barcelona might just have enough. I don't think it will. They won't have their luck. They won't have their quality in front of the goal. They won't blow PSG away. I think it's going to be another close one. But I think their quality, like we've said about Oshawala and Carolina Graham Hansen, who I love, love watching her play. I think that's just going to be, they're just going to have too much for PSG.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like PSG should deserve a lot of credit for what they did against Lyon and also what they've caused as a result in the fact that we're going to have a new Champions League winner this season. But I do feel like they will have met their match against Barcelona, because as you mentioned, the numbers are just crazy. Barcelona are simply too powerful, and I think we got a glimpse of that against Man City, and I think that probably won't be as easy against PSG, but I think they'll definitely edge it, and I'm going for quite a big win there. In terms of my predictions for the Chelsea game, now that's a tough one, because as we mentioned, you're expecting Chelsea to edge it, but you never quite know how they'll face, and you also don't know about what's going to be happening with the centre-back situation, whether Eriksen will be fit enough, how that's going to turn out, what is going on in the full-back area. So I think I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win for Chelsea, but I think it's going to be much more difficult than people think.
Yeah, I think we had that. That was just the case with Wolfsburg as well. People were, I think so focused on this being Chelsea's year that kind of overlooked the quality of the opponents. And yeah, I definitely agree that Bayern are going to be, a big test.
Absolutely. And we hope you guys can all tune into that. I think the games are going to be, so the games will be live on the clubs, especially Chelsea. They do sort of a live thing on their website, but also the games will be aired by BT Sport, I think. And there are streams also if you're watching from the US or other countries. We do hope you get to see all that, and also obviously tune into our pod just so you can get all the insight and analysis. And hopefully next week we'll be able to give you some more news on how that's all gone. And until then, please do keep listening, subscribing, and thank you all for your support.